loves us this morning. Nobody. And it has no bearing on whether or not we're worthy of it, because we're not. That's just what the Lord does. He loves us. Let's listen very carefully this morning. This is going to be nothing new, of course. We don't have nothing new to preach, but we want you to listen carefully. Listening, hearing, we need to think about hearing this morning. Hearing the call of God. Hearing what the Lord has for us. I'm afraid that God is speaking and people are not listening. All over the world, we see nothing but troubles and trials and turmoil. I've never seen more controversy in our country. I've never seen more hurt in the world. Nothing that I've ever read or anything compares to it. We are in the last days. You better believe that this morning, that we're in the last days. You better believe that Jesus is coming. You need to believe this morning. This thing's about ready to blow out. And if you can't see that, then you are very deceived today. You are very deceived. This thing is not going to continue on. That God's word is true. And but I've never seen a beat today of people that won't listen. That people who will not take heed, who will not hear the word of the Lord, who will not knowing better, and will not heed to the word of the Lord. So I want you to pray this morning as we preach. Let's pray just now. Father, I come, and Lord, I'm asking you to help us today. Lord, I'm nothing. Ask you to cleanse me that I might be what I need to be just now. Lord, I'm helpless. I need your touch. I need you to fill me of the Holy Spirit. Direct my thoughts to your thoughts. Direct the preaching to be as you want it, not as I want it. May, as you speak, Lord, that we listen to you, that we listen to the right voice, that we listen to your voice this morning, and that we become obedient unto your word. I thank you for all that you've done. You're so good, but Lord, I'm thanking you for what you're fixing to do in the future. In Jesus' name I pray all this and ask all these things, and amen. You understand this morning, I hope you understand, that God wants you. God wants you. God wants everybody. He wants your family. He wants you. He wants your family. He wants your friends. He wants your children, your grandchildren. He everything about you, he wants you. He wants the world. He does not want to select you. He does not want to select you. He wants everybody. Now, anybody that would think that God did not want somebody, then they're not reading the Word of God, and they're not looking at the God of this world. You think about that. God wants everybody so much. The simple truth, we sung, tell me the story of Jesus, told the whole gospel there in that song we just sung. He wants you enough and me enough and the whole world enough that he died on Calvary for our sins, buried and rose again and coming again. Now, anybody that will die for you ought to show that he loves you and wants to do something and wants you. You're that important this morning. But I'm afraid that we don't get it. We don't listen. We don't listen. We still want to go our own way. He don't just want our soul. He wants our life. He wants your life. He wants us to walk with him. But have you ever seen a day that we're so hard-headed that we won't do it? We know what he wants to do, and everything comes before him. Seems like everything comes before him. Now, we'll have spurts. That we'll put everything aside and put him first, but we just don't want to listen. Don't want to listen. I think so much of what Brother Rick talked there one time about kids not knowing their name. That the two problems in the whole world today with children is they don't know the word no, and they don't know their name. That kids are given names, but nobody teaches them their name. And people think that's silly, but how many times have you heard a parent say to a kid, hey, Johnny, 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 hey, Johnny. And then they'll turn around and say, huh? But they never answer when he says, "Hey, Johnny." It always takes a bunch. And then you'll say, "No, no, hey, no, 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 no," and they still do it. Because they're not taught the word no. Is that true or not?
Amen.
But you know what? It ain't just kids. I reckon it is, because a lot of us are the Lord's kids, and that's the way we do. We don't know our name, and we don't know the word no either. But we don't listen. We don't listen to the call of God. We don't listen to the God pleading with us. Do you understand that for when God calls or God speaks, that there's many examples in the Bible where people did listen, but I'm going to show you some examples this morning of where people didn't listen, and it cost them something. It cost them something. Now, I want you to think about that this morning. To start with, we're going to turn over in John chapter 16. John chapter 16, read a couple of verses this morning. Then we'll give you a title here in a moment. But we know that we're in bad shape. We know that the world is in bad shape. But the Lord's still the answer.
Yes.
He's still the answer. Look here in John chapter 16, and we'll start at verse 7. This is Jesus speaking. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come..." Now let me just stop right there. The Comforter is the Holy Ghost. Christ did go away. He did ascend and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He did send the Holy Ghost back. The Holy Spirit back. He did. And he is doing exactly what was promised that he would do. He says, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." Here I have a promise that the Lord is going to, he's going to speak to me, he's going to reprove me of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's not going to leave me alone, he's not going to leave you by yourself or to yourself, that he's going to work on you, that when the Holy Spirit comes, he's got a work to do. And can I promise you that the Holy Spirit is God in the Spirit, and his promises are just as true as the promises of the Son himself or as God the Father. You understand that. He is reproving the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He is showing us truth. He is glorifying the Son. He is speaking truth. He is causing things to come to our remembrance, as the Scripture says, but we don't listen. But we don't listen. He's speaking, but people are not listening. People are bent on doing their own thing. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, the Bible says. And we need to listen to what God has to say to us this morning. He may not say the same thing to me and you all the time. He's always reproving me of sin, showing me where I'm wrong, showing me before I do it, while I'm doing it and after I do it. He's always protecting me from my stupidity and my ignorance, but he's always guiding me in the truth. He's pushing me like this. He's got the, you've been to these, I think of Dollywood. If you've ever been to both, everyone's went to Dollywood. And you don't just go in one door. You go in the big parking lot, you get on the trams, you go down there to the front, and then everybody's got this little thing, got that thing that you get in when it clicks when you walk through it. Everybody's got to go through. He's got everybody going through where they need to go through, and it clicks and counts them, and they're a number, they're counted. You understand? They're counted for. And that's the way the Lord's God. Everybody don't go through maybe the same one. But He speaks. You understand what I'm saying this morning? And He's got something for us this morning. When I think of what God does, He calls us, talks to us, reproves us, guides us for a plan for our life. God's got a plan for our life. Not our plan. It's not our plan. It's His plan. Our plans and His plans do not match. You understand that? There's things that I want now what I need to do is get in on what He's doing, not trying to get Him in on what I'm doing. Anybody understand that? There's a plan for our life. He calls us about His dream for us, not our dream for us. His dream. What He sees us and we can be. He's got a plan for us to bring Him glory. Then He's got a dream. He's got expectations. What is the verse you like, Becky? Say, we got an expected end. He's got something He wants you to be. Not only does He have a plan, but He wants you to be something. Think about that. And He's doing all He can to get you to go that way. Think about that. He don't sleep nor slumber. He works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all year long, to try to get us to come to listen to Him. And we don't listen. We don't listen. You know, He calls us about His purpose. Not just a plan and a dream. Man, He's got a purpose. He's got a purpose. I've got a purpose. I'm not just a whatnot sitting on a shelf. Huh? I've got a purpose this morning. You're not just a whatnot neither. You got a purpose. People say, well, I'm of no good. I don't know why I'm here. Because God is the one that says whether or not you're worth anything. And God is the one that directs. And God is the one that's got a plan. And God is the one that's got a purpose and a dream. And God will decide when it's your time to go. And until then, listen to Him. Listen to Him. He didn't make you less than somebody else. You understand that? He didn't. You say, well, yeah, but it don't matter what you feel. Let's look at the truth. He's got you. He wants you. He needs you because He loves you. He don't need us to make Him more God. He can do everything. But He needs us like I need Cheryl. Listen, not bragging on me, but I can sew. I can't make dresses or breeches, but I can sew a button on or sew a hole in. I can cook. I can clean, not nowhere near like her, clean enough to suit me, but not enough to suit a woman. All right? I can survive without her. I can survive. But I can't live. There's a difference. I can survive, but I can't live without her. I need her. God don't need us to live. Huh? But He needs us to be together. He wants it. He desires. You understand that He wants you this morning. And you say, well, I'm saved. That ain't enough. He wants you. He wants you. He wants all you got. He wants you. He wants to be able to depend on you. He wants you to be able to depend on Him. He wants you to trust Him like He's God. Think about that. But we have problems listening. Now, let's look over here in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Let's look here at verse 28. We'll start at verse 28. It says, Father, glorify Thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Go back to chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verse 43. John chapter 6, verse 43. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So I see that the Lord promises that he will draw. He said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. That drawing, do you know what that drawing is this morning? It's to pull, to plead, to woo, to speak, to call. He wants you, and he's always working on you to come to him. Do you understand that? And to the point that you're not going to go to God unless he woos you and calls. I'm glad he's still wooing and calling and pleading and calling us, wanting us to come. But we need to listen. We need to answer the call. We need to listen to what he's saying to us this morning. And I want to preach to you just for a minute about answering the call of God. How important it is. And I want to show you what some do. And I believe we can all fit this at some time in our life. Listen, it's important. Does everybody understand the importance of being with the Lord this morning? How many wants to go by themselves? Anybody here brave enough to just do it all by yourself? You know what we want? We only want him in certain things of our life. See, a lot of times we want what God has, but not want God. We want what he offers, but we don't want him. We want all the frills and the fancies of being a Christian and having the pleasures of the Lord, but we don't want him himself. Well, let me tell you, there's more sweet in him than are the things that he gives. Huh? Think about that. He is the one. It's not his gifts. It's not the little frills and fancies and think about what he gives. Do you understand? I listened to him preach this week over at camp, and I didn't even want to preach this morning. I'd like to get Tony and Marcus coming to preach all the time, but they kept talking about how big God was, and Brother Greg was talking about how, and then Brother Rick last week about the stars and everything that he does, the galaxies and all that he does. All that for us. Huh? That we can see his might and his power. To understand that we can serve a God that takes his fingers and dribbles that into heaven. And to know that he lives in our heart. And he would live in your heart if you'd let him. If you're not saved this morning. And he wants you and calls you. Think about it. Huh? I get a lot of phone calls through the month. Well, let me tell you, there ain't no call like his call. There ain't no voice like his voice. Now, God has given me a unique voice that I probably wouldn't have to say of a morning, this is the preacher. I probably wouldn't have to say that, would I? If you get that phone call, if I just said hello, you would probably say, here's the preacher. But I always say, this is the preacher. I introduce myself to make sure. Huh? And these little babies around here. Some of them, when that message comes on of a morning or a prayer chain comes across, they know that's the preacher's voice. Well, let me tell you something. It ain't like his voice. Mine might be unique, but there ain't nobody. Even the scripture said nobody spake like that man spoke. But it seemed like people just won't hear. Our nation is under judgment of God now. It's not going to be under judgment of God. It's under judgment of God now. And we don't heed. We don't heed. We get further and further away from God. We support things that is not of God. They should not be even a Christian watching the Olympics. We shouldn't even be watching the stations that are promoting the Olympics because of anti-God. Now Paris votes against Jesus in the Olympics. When they was having the protesters over the mockery of the Last Supper, and some of the Christians in the Olympics wanted to protest it, then Paris banned Jesus from the Olympics. Did you not see that on the news? They banned Jesus. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That's the country. They already made a mockery with all the transvestite people mocking the Last Supper. Then you notice they didn't say nothing about Muhammad or Buddha. They didn't. They went against Christ. Why would they just go against Christ? Why would they do that? Huh? Listen to me now. And then to say, well, if you're going to protest against it, then you're just not allowed either. Jesus. That's the shape of world then. And the Lord still wants us. And the Lord still wants the sinner. All those that portrayed the Last Supper in mockery, He would save any one of them that would come to Him in repentance and faith believing. And He calls, and He calls, and He calls. But nobody wants to answer. Let me tell you where we're at today. Turn to Acts, if you would, chapter 26. Very familiar scriptures. Acts 26. Acts 26. If you look in the book of Acts 26, Paul was speaking to Agrippa and Festus. And as he's speaking to Agrippa and Festus, he's done giving him his testimony. And all that's been going on, what he had been and what he was now. And he told him what God had called him to do. And I want you to look here down in verse 25. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king, speaking of Agrippa, for the king knows of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That's the voice of most people as they answer. God speaks and calls and draws and woos and pleads and wants people to come to Him. And they come right down to it. And when it's told them, I know you're believing what I'm saying. And they said, well, almost. You almost got me. You almost got me. But no, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to heed. I know, but no, I'm not going to heed. I believe. I'm aware of all of it. That's the key. When Paul said, thou believest, he was asking, you're aware of everything I've just told you. You know it to be true. But Agrippa said, almost. That's our answer in so much stuff. Lord, you almost convinced me. You almost convinced me. I keep reading this Bible. You almost convinced me, trust me. You almost convinced me to follow you. Almost. I'm almost there. We don't have no record that Agrippa ever got that far. You understand my point this morning? He offers us over and over. But going on ahead and answering, boy, we have a problem with that. Have a problem with that this morning. So many people I've talked to that are almost saved. Can I tell you, if you're not saved this morning, you're not almost saved, you're fully lost. You're fully lost. You're not almost saved. You're fully lost. Completely lost. Huh? Think about that. I've had people, I've talked to them, say, man, they're close. You know how close they are? Lost.
Right.
Lost. Lost. Still lost. Flip back a page, if you would. chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. Have we ever said this when we see God dealing with somebody? Well, I think that shook them a little bit. Anybody ever heard that? Anybody ever say that? Or we even ask, well, what's it going to take to shake them up? What's it going to take to shake them? Well, let's see what it would take. Acts chapter 24. Let's look at verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He trembled. He was shook. But wouldn't listen. Things come and come to us and it shakes us to our very foundation. And we don't listen. We don't listen. I've never seen a day when people are in trouble, instead of running to God, they run from Him. I've never seen a day that when people run from the church instead of to the church where there's help. It's almost like being on fire yourself and running into a burning building. You run to where there ain't no help. I don't understand that. Why is the church not our help? Why is the Lord not our help? Why don't you turn to God? He's making things, circumstances surround your life that you might call on Him, because He's calling you, that you might answer, "Yes, Lord, yes." He speaks through so many things. He speaks through the gospel. He speaks through His Word. He speaks through the preachers. He speaks through the songs that He gives people the ability to write the songs. He speaks, what is the song we sing? That He made every note of the music. To think that a holy God that wants you and wants me, when a bird speaks, He made all their notes.
Yes, He did.
You know that, don't you? When a bird speaks, he made the notes, they whistle. He's that powerful, and He wants you this morning. And He speaks, and Paul gave the gospel to Felix and his wife, Drusilla. And they shook. They shook. But they wouldn't heed. See, God's calling, God's talking, but people won't listen. People won't listen. And then things start getting tougher. God talks and talks, and I turn over to Daniel. Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. See, for some, almost is the answer. For some, they just get a little shook, but they won't answer. Think about this. Daniel chapter 5. He got a little shook. Belshazzar got a little shook, but it don't do no good. Can I tell you, to be troubled ain't enough.
Right.
To be scared ain't enough, too. It takes more. Look here what happened with Belshazzar. Belshazzar chapter 5, verse 1. Everybody okay this morning? Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple, the house of God, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. The king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote once against another. That's pretty real. That's shook at it. Till you tremble and shake. But he died that night and lost his soul, and his kingdom was taken from him, and he wouldn't hear the call of God. Are you listening to me? See, people are hearing, but they're not doing nothing with it. They're not answering the call correctly. Do you understand this morning? How much will it take us before we listen? What will it take us before we walk straight? What will it take before we do right? When do we call things wrong and get back in line to where things are right? When do we go ahead and go all the way for the Lord? When do we do that? What does it take to answer the call? What does it take to come when He says? What does it take to do it? What's it going to take for you? Can I tell you this? That He'll call with a still small voice. And then the voice will get louder. The voice will get louder. The voice will get louder. You say, well, where does it say it? Well, it gets louder. He'll call with that still small voice and woo and plead. And then the circumstances that come with it make the voice seem louder. We still okay? Turn to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. And let's look here at chapter 14. 2 Samuel, chapter 14. Here's a wonderful illustration as we're talking about Absalom and Joab. This is a great illustration of how God speaks. Let's look here and let's start at verse 29. It says, therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come. Therefore he said unto his servants, see, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servants set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom into his house and said unto him, wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire? Now if you read the story, you can go back and read all the whole context of it all. That Absalom was away wanting to see the King David, and he wanted Joab to go and intercede for him. And Absalom sent for Joab to go see the king. And when Joab said, no, I ain't doing it, he sent again. Joab said, no, I ain't going to do it. And Absalom said, well, you see, there's a barley field right here beside where he's living. Told his servant, said, you go set it afar and he'll be here in just a little bit. Because that barley field was his prized possession. So the servants went and set the field on fire, and in just a little bit, here comes Joab. He answered the call then. And he said, how come you to burn my barley field? He said, I called you, didn't come. I need you to come to me. Now listen carefully this morning. God is not above burning your barley field to get you to come to Him. And when He does, it's a loud call. It's not that little still small voice begging and pleading. It's calling to get your attention because of the need. Listen to me. There's people today that's having their barley fields burn up. And precious things, the price is so high of things being taken away. It may be wealth, it may be health, it may be loved ones. Listen to me this morning. Everybody that gets sick does not mean God's calling them to, and they won't listen. Everybody that dies don't mean that God called them and they wouldn't listen. No. But sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. Everybody that loses their job don't mean that God's calling them. But can I tell you, anytime you lose a job ought to be a voice to call, come back to God. Did you hear what I said? Anytime you lose a little wealth, it ought to be a call to come back to God, to ask for His help, to be dependent upon Him. Anytime your health starts going, that's not a time to go away from God. That's a time to come to God. Huh? Anytime. When death comes, man, that's not a time to go away from God. It's a time to come to Him. And sometimes He uses that very thing to get a hold of your heart. Sometimes. See, this morning, God's calling. And it's serious to God. You're important to God. What do you lose down here if He's going to give you everything? If He has everything. Sometimes this morning, those things might not be the reason it can be used, but sometimes it's the reason. Absalom tried and tried to get Joab to come to him, but it cost him his barley field. Is it worth it this morning? Is there anything in this world worth more than coming to God? I don't know of anything that's worth any more. But God's calling. I look at our country. God's calling our country. And you know what we've done for years? Huh? We've done nothing but put in ungodly leaders. We've put in people that's going to fill our pockets. That's how we voted for you. We've not voted for godly people. We voted for people that's going to help our retirements, or who's going to help my hourly wage, or who's going to help me when I'm sick. Huh? We voted for insurances. We voted for Social Security. Huh? We voted for the dollar bills, what we voted for. We've not voted for godliness. Huh? 1963, they voted for a Catholic, the first Catholic that was ever voted to lead our country. Right. And the very belief is against God. Right. When the Pope says that the biggest failure of Jesus Christ was Calvary. Huh? Huh? Are you listening to me? We put in drunkards and whoremongers. Yeah. Huh? Everybody praises Franklin Roosevelt, who kept a mistress all the time he was in office. Everybody wanted this one and that one. And they were drunkards. I seen a thing on YouTube. It was showing all the president's favorite drinks. And I scrolled through it, and from the father of our country, do you know how many barrels of liquor they drank at the father of our country's inauguration party? Look it up. 19 barrels of liquor. Huh? But we're a godly country, ain't we? That they go down through the line and their favorite drink is whiskey and beer, and then it says, what denomination are they? And it tells us, listen, all ungodly. Are you listening to what I'm saying this morning? God is calling, and our country's going away from God. Churches go away from God. People go away from God. He calls us back. Calls us back. Huh? And the only thing He's wanting to hear, let's go back to Genesis 22. Is everybody listening to me this morning? Genesis 22, verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham... And he said, behold, here I am. That's what he's wanting. He's wanting us to answer just like Abraham and say, yeah, here I am. He wants you to say that. He's calling you if you're lost. He's calling you to come to him in faith believing. He wants you to say, yeah, here I am. I'm coming. Amen. And then he's wanting us who are Christians when he calls, yeah, here I am. What did Abraham do? What is so special? He just went ahead and gave his all that he had. He gave to the Lord and trusted him that the Lord would do right. Can I tell you this morning, you can trust the Lord to do right. We're going to have to listen to the voice of God and the call of God. There's work to be done. There's work to be done this morning. Oh, there's a danger. There's a danger of not hearing or obeying the call of God. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Caroline, you go on the piano. Proverbs chapter 1. And let's just look here at what it says. Proverbs chapter 1. And look here at verse 23. Verse 23, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth to me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." I'm talking about answering the call of God this morning. May I tell you simply what God wants? God wants us that are saved to follow Him. We'll even say sometimes, brazenly say, "I'm not going to do but so much." Why? Why? That's not what He's called us to do. Well, I'm doing enough. How can I do enough? How could I ever do enough? How can you ever do enough? Man, I'm glad it's not based on what we do, but man, there ought to be a desire to do all that we can for one that's done all for us this morning. It's like camp. Everybody serves and gives and does and works. And me to get up as your pastor, thank you. That ain't enough. That ain't enough. That's so little. Because ain't nothing can be measured about what was done for camp. Do you know that? And then to look at the Lord of glory, who left heaven and all the glory and come down and done everything, and for me to give Him a little or just say I've done enough, oh, how ashamed I should be for all that He's done for me this morning. And He just calls me as a Christian to come follow me. That's all He does. Come follow me. Come follow me. Come follow me. That's all He asks. That's all He asks. We, before we're saved, He says, "You that are dead, come, I'll give you life." Well, who wouldn't want to have life if you're dead? Who wouldn't want to trade eternal life for eternal damnation? I mean, who wouldn't want to trade that? Who wouldn't want to trade their sin for complete cleanliness? Who wouldn't want to trade all their wrongs for nothing but right? Who wouldn't want to trade any of that? Man, that's an easy trade. But then after, who wouldn't follow? Who wouldn't follow this morning? That's what He's calling us to do. Abraham. Hey, Abraham, here I am. Here I am. What do you need, Lord? I want you to go kill your son up on the mountain. I want you to go up there and worship, sacrifice him. I want you to take a knife and take all of his innards out and separate him on the fire. I want you to take these joints apart, pile it all up there on the fire. I want you to burn it. And after you burn it, then you and the lad can come back down. He said, okay. That's what you want. Because he knew that the Lord wouldn't let him down. So what did he do? Abraham went up to the mountain. Told the servant, said, me and the lad will be back. We're going up here to worship. He built the altar. He fixed everything up. And Isaac said, here's the fire. Here's the knife. Everything's laid out here. Well, now, he said, the Lord will provide. And he laid his son down and picked the knife up to plunge it in him. And there was a ram caught over in the thicket. And the Lord provided that Abraham, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Huh? But he answered a voice and said, here I am. But now some almost answer. Some get a little shook up, like Felix and Belshazzar. Some almost answer, like Agrippa. Some will lose a lot before they say, yeah, like Joab lost his prized possession. Finally came. Boy, the price is awful high. Huh? But then there's Abraham that says, here I am. But then there's a multitude that will never come. And the Bible says that when your fear cometh and your destruction cometh and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me and I won't answer. I won't answer. We're like that sometimes. You ever call somebody over and over and over and over, and when they go back, no, I ain't going to talk to them. They wouldn't talk to me, I ain't talking to them. You ever done that? I've tried and tried and tried and tried to get a hold of them, and I'll be told if I talk to them now. It's done too late. Well, sometimes we better pay attention. Father, this simple this morning, help us to listen to your voice. Help us to answer your call. Help us to listen to the reproof. Help us to come and follow you. Lord, I pray for every ear that hears this morning, that they'll come to you as you ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's